Philippians chapter 4. Man, it's great to be in church. And it is great to see you here, amen. Most of all, it's great that the Lord's here, ain't it, amen? Philippians chapter number 4. Amen. Philippians 4. It is my prayer that God would use this message to help our lives today. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Look in verse number 10. Some of these are very, very familiar verses in your Bible. Philippians 4. Matter of fact, Brother Luke Miller quoted or read verse 13 today. A lot of you know Philippians 4:13. Verse 10. Philippians 4:10. What's the first word? Amen. Now, Paul writing the book of Philippians from jail. Amen. And boy, he's rejoicing in joy all through the whole chapter. And the whole four chapters. It's the whole book. Amen. And you can still have joy and rejoice in the middle of anything you're going through. Amen. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that not at the last your care for me had flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Kind of reminds me, this don't have nothing to do with the message. Let me just go ahead and get this out there. Some of you really keep up to date with the news and the media and what's going on. You know, kind of North Carolina kind of, I guess you'd say, set the bar. It wasn't really a high bar setting when they couldn't find out which bathroom to go into. It's kind of a knock on the North Carolina. But just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, amen. Now they're trying to say that if you go into the restaurant and you're an American, you come out an American. But they don't know what you are when you're in the restroom. You're European. All right, amen. Just when you thought I was all serious. All right, Philippians 4. Now I'm serious. Verse 10, let's read again. I'm telling you what, amen. Blame it on Luke Miller. Philippians 4:10. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord. Amen. Greatly. You rejoicing in the Lord? Greatly. Paul said, I did, that not at the last your care for me had flourished again. So the Philippian people cared for him, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. I know that you care for me and you try to take care of me, but it's not a want on my side. Paul said, because for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He said, I know both how to be abased, that's low, and I know how to abound, that's high. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brother Johnny Peel, how about lead us to the Lord in prayer, brother? Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. God help us. Yes, Lord. God touch and bless them, Lord. God help. Yes, God help. Yes. Yes, yes, God bless. Miss Brooks, help us. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. I'm really excited about what the Lord could do with this message. It is my prayer that He'd use it. Look in verse number 11. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." He said, "I've learned that whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I want to preach on this thought this morning, pleasingly content. Pleasingly content. I looked at the word content. A lot of you know when you think about the word content, several things maybe pops in your mind. But by definition, the word content means this: contained within limits, hence quiet, not disturbed, is content. Having a mind at peace. I'm just content. My mind's at peace. I'm undisturbed. I'm contained within the limits. Satisfied is the word, another word for the word content. So as not to repine, object, or oppose. I'm satisfied. I'm not grumbling. I'm not opposing anything. Amen. I'm just pleased with what God's doing in my life. Content, pleased or gratified. Rest or quietness of mind in the present condition. There's a rest in mind in my present condition. I'm just content. Does it matter what I'm going through? Does it matter what I'm facing? I am content. Paul said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." That's the word content by definition. But what would the word pleasingly content mean? This is what I'm preaching on. There's not a definition for pleasingly content, so I made my own, like I make my own words a lot of times. Amen. But what is pleasingly content? If content is contained within the limits, if it's easy, satisfied, as to not to repine or oppose or object, it means to be gratified, it means to rest in quietness of mind in my present condition. What is pleasingly content? It means this. It means content with God and godliness and pleased. Not just accepting what's dealt you, but pleased and thankful for it. That goes a little bit deeper into the subject of content. Some people are content, but they're not pleasingly content. You know, you can be content in something that's necessarily not good. I mean, content is a great word. I mean, to be rest and quietness of mind. But some people are at rest and quiet of mind in their present condition, and their condition is not well. Amen. So you can be content in something that's just ungodly. That is not right. But pleasingly content is content with God. I'm satisfied with God. I'm not only satisfied with God, but I'm satisfied with godliness. And I'm pleased and I'm accepted the hand God's dealt with me. And I'm thankful for what He gave me. That's a whole lot different. That goes beyond just regular content. That content's found in your Bible. For Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." It's not in an ungodly manner. I'm not coveting the world. He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have." Amen. In my present condition, the things that God's given me that's godly and good, I'm thankful for them and I'm pleased at what God's doing in my life. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's content in God and godliness. Amen. That's pleasingly content. In our passage, Paul is content, but he's not lazy. Do you know some people are content with laziness? You say, "Well, I'm just content. I'm just at ease." But you're lazy. So content is not a good thing if you're lazy. Amen. You're using that content. It's surely not pleasingly content. Amen. Paul's content, but he's not lazy. No matter what is thrown at him. And listen, I know that several different things are thrown at us. We're different individuals. We go through different things in life. And things are thrown at us or dealt our way by the good hand of God. And we need to be pleasingly content in what God's doing if we're walking and pleasing God in our lives. Paul's been dealt some things in his life, but he's content, but he's not lazy. And no matter what is thrown at him, what's thrown at him, he said, whether it be monetarily, whether it be money, he said, not that I speak in respect to want. Hey, whether you're supplying my need or not supplying my need, I'm content whether I got it or I don't. Hey, money doesn't govern my life. Hey, thank God for it, and thank God you can pay bills and buy things and do things with money, but money doesn't buy happiness, amen. He's content with his money. Not that I speak in respect to wealth. He's content with his location. He said, I've learned that whatever state I am, doesn't matter the location of my life, doesn't matter how much money I got, doesn't matter where I live in Hamlet, doesn't matter where I live in North Carolina or any other state or any other city around the world, if I'm where God wants me to be, I'm content in the state God's put me in. I'm content in my location. I'm not looking to go somewhere else. I'm not trying to get somewhere I don't need to be. I'm content at where God's got me, but I'm not lazy. He's content with his money. He's content with his location. He's content with his circumstances and situations of life. He said, I know how to be abased. Oh, that should be here. And I know how to abound, right? And everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to hunger, both to abound and to suffer need. Amen. Hey, what is the key to his contentment and not laziness? It's verse 13. For I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. His strength and his hope is in the Christ the Lord. Amen. Not in the world.
Amen.
How do you get that he's content and not lazy? He said, well, I can do. Don't miss that part of the text. Yes, he is content in the strength of God and what God can do in his life. Hey, but the strength that God has given him, he's using it to go forth and do things for the Lord. We live in a generation of people that are lazy. Pleasingly content. Content with God and godliness and pleased. Not just accepting what is dealt you, but pleased and thankful for it. You know, we come to some people, you just say, well, you know, I've just accepted that's just the way it's going to be. That's not necessarily pleasingly content. You might say I'm content with it, but you can't say I'm pleased with it. You understand what I'm saying? Pleasingly content. Why many don't have this contentment? Let me give you a few things this morning. Number one, many don't have this pleasingly contentment in their life is because they are content with sin. And if you're content with sin, you're surely not going to be content with godliness and God. Many people are just content in their sinful condition. That's the world we're living in. Hey, take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 37 to start with. First book in your Bible in the beginning, Genesis 37. This is the first mention of the word content in your King James Bible. And it gives a little insight of how people are content with sin. Genesis 37 gives a great story of Joseph, the dreamer boy. Amen. You kids learn about Joseph, the man with a coat of many colors, right? Oh boy, had dreams and ambitions for the Lord, amen, that God would use his life. Hey, but he ran up against a crowd that was ungodly, and it happened to be his own brothers. And what you find in the context of Genesis 37 and verse 27 is that people are content with sin. Verse 37:27 says, here's what is, Joseph has been sent out by his father to go check on his brother. Here's how the story goes. And he's gone out to check on his brother, and his brother seen him coming, and they said, look at the dreamer boy, look at God's favor, look at our daddy's favorite, and hey, let's do away with him, and let's get away with his dreams of us bowing down before him, and let us get the favor of God in his, of our father in his place. Verse 27, they said, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. They threw Joseph in a pit. They don't know exactly what they're going to do with him, and they come to the conclusion, we'll just sell him away. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were what? Content. You know what they were content with? Sinning. They were content with sinning. Amen. Hey, people, you know, we live in a world where people are content with doing wrong. And it does not faze them. They're just relaxed about it. They like the situation. Everything's good. If they're drunkards, they just drunk and party and go out every Friday night and drink one and toast one, go back to work, live the routine. They just feel like, I'm just satisfied with my surroundings. I pay my bills. I take care of my family. I don't have any problems. I'm just living my way out life I want to live. People are content and pleased with living in sin. It ain't no shock to God. God knew about that in Romans chapter number 1 when he described the great description of the world in the last days and the sin that's going on. Hey, the Bible said something to this effect in verse 32. Hey, they not only do those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what they said? They're content with sinning. Hey, the world's content with being a sodomite. The world's content with being a drunkard. They're content with being a drug addict. They're content with being a hell raiser. They're just satisfied with their life and they're not looking for nothing else.
Yeah, amen.
These people were content with sinning. Even though it was wrong and everybody knew it was wrong. Tell your brother to do him and treat him in such a fashion is not right. Hey, but you know what? They were content just to get rid of him. Well, haven't we arrived in this day that we're living in 2020? Well, the world is just satisfied with doing wrong. They're not pleasingly content, but they're content. They're content with sin. Amen. And when you get like this, it's amazing. They don't care who they hurt. I mean, they said, hey, let's sell him. Let's do away with our brother. They didn't care if it was their own flesh and blood. Yeah, they didn't care what it was going to do to daddy back at home. You remember when they brought the coat of many colors back to the father? And he looked down at the coat and thought some animal destroyed his son? They didn't care how it would hurt daddy. They didn't care how it would hurt mama. They didn't care how it would hurt grandma's heart. They didn't care how it would hurt their family. Because they were living in sin. Amen. When people get with content with living in sin, they don't care who they hurt. They don't care that mama's crying her eyeballs back at home while they're out there living like hell and doing God knows what. Because they want to satisfy their own flesh. They don't care who they hurt. These boys didn't care who they hurt. They didn't care about daddy. They didn't care about mama. They didn't care about grandparents. They didn't care about the church. They just were out for their own initiative to sin. This is where we're at today. People are content with sin. We don't care who we hurt. Hey, the devil's going to tempt you young boys one day to run away from home and go out there and live in the world. Hey, you're going to hurt mama. You're going to hurt daddy. You're going to hurt the church and people that pray for you. But the devil's going to tell you nobody cares. If you're not careful, you'll get out there and start living that way. And you're content with it. You ever see people you talk to them and witness to them and it doesn't shake them? They can live like hell and know it. You know why? Because they're content with sin. They don't care who they hurt. Amen. Matter of fact, they find a way to justify their actions. And when people get content with sin and they're at ease about it and they have no care of who they hurt and who it destroys, amen, they find a way to justify why they're sinning. That's what this all in the text here with these boys. They didn't care who they hurt. They were content with their wicked lifestyle. The Bible said, they said, hey, let's not kill him. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, for he is our brother in our flesh. You know what they're thinking? Hey, it's okay what we're doing. I mean, they felt justified in the actions of sinning against their own brother. Well, haven't we arrived in the world today where people are so content with sin that they live like God knows what and they think that it's okay, they don't even blush anymore, they don't care who they hurt, and they find a way to justify why they're doing it. Well, if he wouldn't have come up with all them dreams and tried to make himself better than everybody else, we wouldn't have done him like we done him. Like it's right to shoot a man down because he's got dreams and ambitions to serve the Lord. He's got goals in his life and he wants to serve the Lord. Why are you going to tear him down and justify your wicked lifestyle?
Right.
This is the world we're living in. They're steadily justifying their wrong actions. Well, you know why I do that? Because that's what other people do in the church do it. If people in the church wouldn't treat me like that, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know what it's showing? They're content with their sin. They don't care who they hurt. You get me this morning? Amen. They're surrounded by their ungodly lifestyle and they're at peace of mind about it somehow. You get the peace of mind and content in your wicked lifestyle, you come close to searing your conscience and you're in a bad shape. These boys sold their brother and thought it was okay to do it. People are content with sinning. Not only people are content with sinning, but number two, people are content with what's left. I'm talking about pleasingly content. People are content, but they're not pleasingly content. I'm talking to some this morning, you know what? The truth of the matter is you're in church and serving the Lord, but you know what? You're content with what's left in your life. You have no goals. You have no ambitions. You're not looking for anything greater and better. You're just satisfied where you're at. Look at this in Exodus chapter number 2. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus gives us the story of Moses. You remember the old boy? And his mama put him down in the bulrush, little kids, and sent him down the river. And God raised him up to be a great deliverer of the people of God. And Joseph was raised by the Egyptians. Moses was raised by the Egyptians. Amen. A Pharaoh's daughter found him down in the river and took her home with him and took care of him and let his mama nurse him, not knowing exactly. I don't know if they really knew exactly what was going on. That was really his mother or not. But God providentially took care of that situation. But there came a time in Moses' life where the Bible tells a little bit about it in the book of Hebrews, and he said, I choose not to hang out with the Egyptians no more. I'd rather suffer with the people of God. And what does Moses do? Moses rises up and sees an Egyptian slaying one of the children of Israel, and he attacks and slays him. Amen. The next day he comes back and he's there to take care of his brethren again. And now he's trying to just break up his brethren, fighting against brethren. They look at him and say, who made you a god over us? Hey, why don't we just let Pharaoh know what you did yesterday and we'll fix your mess. And Moses so feared for his life and he fled and ran away. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 21, we pick up the story here. The Bible said that Moses was what? Content. Exodus 2 verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. Jethro over here. Reuel, the father of Zipporah. Moses said, you know what? I'm content to dwell with this man. Amen. You know what Moses is in this situation? Moses is content with what's left in his life. He's satisfied with this is what it's going to work, but that's what it's going to come to. Amen. You know what Moses realized at this point in his life? It didn't turn out like I expected it at first. I thought that I'd be the deliverer. I thought that the children of Israel would accept me and God would use me to pull them out of that bondage. I had a little bit of connection on the inside of Egypt and I had a love for God's people on the outside. I expected it to be better than this. But you know what he found out real quick? It didn't turn out like he expected. You know what I'm talking to this morning? Some people that your life didn't turn out like you dreamed it. It turned out kind of, you can go back to Joseph in the story in the first point. It turned out like you dreamed it up, man. Here, Joseph found himself down in prison and he had part of his wife lying. Hey, Moses said, I'm the deliverer. Hey, surely God's people will accept me. But it didn't turn out that way when they turned their backs on him and he fled for his life. Now Moses on the backside of the desert, you know what he says? I'm content to dwell with this man and marry his daughter. You know what Moses is saying? I'm content with what's left. You know what I'm talking to this morning? Some of God's people. Some of you are not in the first point where you're content with sin, but you're just content with what's left. Amen. You kind of, sometimes you even feel guilty to yourself. Feel like, well, I've done it. I made the mess of it. You know, I deserve what I'm getting. And I just stand out here outside of Egypt and nothing be done with my life. Hey, surely God can't use me. Well, I've been through the D word, you know. Hey, my life's been wrecked. I've done things and made decisions and choices that I had a bone of reproach on the Lord and a reproach on the church in the past. Surely God can't use me. I'm just content with where I'm at. I'm content with what's left. Amen. How do you know that's what he's thinking over here? Look in verse 22. The Bible said he was just so content that he got over there and he just started a family. Some of you maybe as a younger child and a teenager, God put things on your heart and pressed great desires and great goals. And then hey, somehow situations and choices in your life didn't turn out like you thought. Now you were married with children and you feel like your life's over and that's all it's ever going to be. It's the way Moses felt. Verse 22, and she bare him a son and he called his name Gershom. Look at what it is. How you notice what he thinks? For he said, I have been a stranger in the land, in a strange land. The word Gershom means that, a stranger in a strange land. He named his son that. You know what he's saying? I'm just a stranger. I'm in a strange land. Hey man, he starts a family and he gives up on his dreams. He thinks this is where it's going to be. This is what it's going to amount to. I'll just raise a family over here and just hunker down. You know what he is? He's content. He was content to marry the girl. He was content to start a family. And he felt like all my dreams and my ambitions at the beginning are gone. I'll just lay back and take my ease. You know what some of you are today? You're just content with what's left. This is it. Nothing else is going to change. But there's good news in the story of Moses. Even though Moses might have been content at that point, God wasn't done with Moses. Amen. You know what I'm going to tell you this morning? God's not done with you. The same God that pressed the dreams on your heart, that put ambitions inside of you to want to serve God and live godly and do great things, He's still on the throne, and He showed up to Moses on the backside of the desert while He's taking care of Jethro's flock, and He saw that bush of flame. Remember the story, kids? And He said, take off your shoes, your holy ground. Hey, I've got a desire. I'm not done with you, and I still want to use you. Listen, child of God, maybe you've got content and said, hey, this is where it's at, this is where it's going to end. God said, I'm not done with you.
Amen.
The dreams I put in your heart, I can still fulfill. Let's get pleasingly content, not just content. Some are content with sin. Hey, some are content with what's left. Hey, man, I like this. Number three, hey, some are content with the mediocre Christian life. Look at this in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. It's the way this thing plays out in your Bible. Who shows up after Moses to lead the people of Israel? Joseph. Joshua, excuse me. Joshua chapter 7. Amen. Joshua 7. Some are content with sin. Some are content with what's left. Some are content with a mediocre Christian life. Joshua chapter 7, we'll read the verse, then I'll bring you up to date. Verse 7. And Joshua said, at last, O Lord God, he's praying to the right God. That's a good start, ain't he? But look what he says to him. Wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? That's what he's questioning God. God, why'd you bring us over Jordan? So the Amorites could destroy us? Would to God, look what he says, would to God we had been what? Content. And dwelled on the other side of Jordan. Moses has been the one that God led out, led the people out through his hand. God used him to deliver them. After he thought his life was over, God wasn't done with him. And Moses led them out of Egypt. And they got on the other side of Jordan, and the object was to get to Canaan land, where the milk and honey flows, where the victorious, if you will, Christian life is. But the children of Israel got to Jordan. You know what? They're out of Egypt. That's a great step, man. Hey, when you got saved and God brought you out of this whole world and put you in the family of God, that's a good thing, amen. But you know what? A lot of God's people are satisfied with staying in Jordan instead of going into Canaan. God said, no, Joshua, you're going to lead them over Jordan. And he did lead them over Jordan. And they went out there and they, listen kids, they marched around the walls of Jericho. Remember that story? And God brought them over and they got over Jordan. They marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls of Jericho fall down. God gives a great victory. It seemed like their lives are going in the right direction. God's brought them out of Egypt. God saves your soul. God's giving you some victories over things in your life. And then Achan takes a little bit of things that are ungodly out of Jericho. How the story goes. And Achan brings sin in the camp of God's people. And God's people said, let's go fight another battle. We've got Jericho defeated. Let's go into the promised land and take some more land. Because that's what God wants out of us. Remember when God saved you, he was on fire for God? And man, you got down by, you beat Jericho. Whatever Jericho was in your life, you got victory over that sin in your life. God delivered you over that obstacle in your life. And it seemed like you're on cloud nine and God's blessing your life. Then you have another battle. But this time, this battle beats you. They went out and fought and God said, no, they're destroyed. And the reason why God allowed them to be destroyed because they were sin in the camp. Remember the story? But here's the mindset of Joshua and the people. Well, maybe we should have been content just to stay in Jordan. Maybe we should have just been satisfied that, hey, we ain't under the bondage of the Egyptians, right? We're not under Pharaoh anymore. Hey, I'm saved. Heaven's my home. I'm going to heaven. Hey, blood washed, heaven bound. Thank God for that. That's a great thing. But maybe that should be just all we're satisfied with. Because to go a little bit further and to lead my family in a little more godliness and to be a little more faithful to God and step out and be used by God with a little bit more in my life, it's just too much trouble. And so Joshua said, Would to God we were content on the other side of Jordan. Would to God we'd have just said, you know what? I'm content with mediocre. No hell. Thank God for that. But the blessings of Christian life and being a witness and winning others to the Lord and having desires, maybe we should have just been content with staying in Jordan. A lot of God's people are in that state. They're content with a mediocre Christian life. It's not Egypt, but it's not Canaan land either. Amen. They failed. Why did they fall? Because they act like they could do it without God, and sin was brought into camp. And the reason why a lot of God's people are living a mediocre Christian life is because they won't cut sin out of their lives. I got to get rid of that. I got to give up that. Yeah, if it can get me closer to God, a little bit more touch of God in my life, it's worth cutting it out of my life.
Amen.
Do you know what? To cut it out of your life, you might have to fight hell for it. Amen. That's where a lot of God's people draw the line and say, I'll just live mediocre. I can't be coming to church all the time and living for the Lord and giving to the Lord and living my life by faith because it's just too much trouble. And some people get like that. And they get content with a mediocre Christian life. Just so they can have heaven and have a little enjoyment of sin. But you know what? It ain't pleasingly content. If you're saved by the grace of God, I don't care how you try to make it look like on the outside it's smiling and you're happy. If God's in your heart, you ain't going to be happy that way. Amen. Joshua said, hey, would to God we'd have stayed in Jordan and been content. You know what we need to do? We need to get right with God and move the sin out of our lives. Until they removed the sin in our life, they wasn't going any further. Until Achan and his family was out of the way, until you remove sin out of your life, you're not going to go any further with the Lord. You're not going to be pleasingly content. You know what? You're going to get to the point where you just say, you know what? This is my hand dealt, and I'll just take it. I don't believe that's what God thinks God means out of godly contentment and pleasingly content. Just to accept this is it. And a lot of God's people's got to that point in their contentment that, you know, this is it. Lastly, amen. Look in Judges chapter 17. Some are content with sin. Some are content with mediocre Christian life. Hey, some are content that this is just all it's going to be. I'll just deal with what's left. And some are content with religion. Judges chapter 17, they're content with religion.
Amen.
Religion's good enough for me. No, it ain't good enough.
Amen.
Religion ain't good enough.
Amen.
And some are content with their religion. You ever witness to the lost world? And you try to give them a gospel tract and tell them how the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved? And they say, I don't need that. I got my church. You know what they're saying? I'm content with my church. I'm content with my religious activities, my routines. They're content with religion. Judges 17, we find this in verse number 11. The Bible said, and the Levite was content, look at this, to dwell with the man. The man was Micah. The man said, hey, I've got my own little priestly kingdom down here set up at my house. And if you, a Levite, would come and be my priest. The Bible said the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite. The young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. And then said, Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. This man Micah had gave this a proposal to this young Levite, said, hey, why don't you come to my house and be my priest? Why don't you set up in your robe and rule over my house? We'll offer sacrifices. We'll do it at my house apart from God's house. We'll do it our way. It'll be our religion. We'll worship God in our own way. Boy, the world's full of that today. They're content with their religion. I don't need church. Who needs the Bible? I got God too. They're content with their religion. They're content with their rituals, thinking that's going to get them into the pearly gates of heaven. Many are trusting in religious activities. You know what religious activities do? It gives you a false hope. The Bible said in verse 13, he said, now I know that the Lord will do me good. The Lord's going to take care of me. Why is the Lord going to take care of you, Mike? You know what he says? I got it set up at my house. I got a priest at my house. We offering sacrifice at my house. Who needs church? Who needs the Bible? Who needs the house of God? I got it all set up and I'm worshiping God, and me and God's got this thing worked out. That's the world today. They're content with their religion. They're satisfied in their mind. Somehow they warped themselves to believe that it's okay with God to do it your way. And to worship at your house. And you can worship God anywhere. Don't get me wrong. But God set up an order of things. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of all. You're not your own God.
Amen.
It's not your trinkets and your religions and your baptism and your rituals that's going to get you into heaven. We live in a world that's full of it. They're kind of just like it was in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can write this down and check it out sometime. Mark 15:15. The Bible said that Pilate, you remember he was watching over the Lord's trial. And the people said, give us Jesus. Kill Jesus. Give us Barabbas. You know what the Bible says in Mark 15:15? Something to the effect of this thought, that Pilate, willing to content the people. I'll make them content. And to give them contentment and a peace of mind and relax the situation and calm down the uproar that's going on in the city, I'll release Barabbas and I'll crucify Jesus. That's the way the world is today. Give us Barabbas. Jesus, he's just another prophet. He's just another many other ways. And they're content with their religion. You find it in the story here. They traded the house of God for the house of Micah. This young man did. He was content with his sin and a sinner other than with the Savior and the saints of God. Boy, it's amazing. That's the way the world is today. They're trading the house of God for the house of Micah. I got my own house, my own way. They're trading a bunch of sinners for the saints of God and the Savior. And they're content with it. And you can't move them. No, I don't need that. Me and God's got it worked out. I don't need any of that stuff. They might be content, but they're not pleasingly content. You know where real assurance comes from? Real assurance and real contentment comes from the Bible and the Holy Ghost of God. That's where it comes from. You know what they traded in? They traded in the Word of God and the Spirit of God for their own false contentment. The Bible says, in 1 John 5:13, these things have been written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know where eternal life is? It's in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in your religion. It's not in your activities. It's in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in verse 14, this is our confidence. Our confidence is in God, in His Word. Amen. Are you pleasingly content? Or are you just sitting back there saying, I've just accepted what's dealt with me, and I'm just going to live with it. That's not godly contentment. You might be content, but it ain't godly, and it ain't pleasing. Pleasingly content is content with God and godliness. And satisfied with what God's dealt with you and are pleased and thankful for what He's doing in your life. Can you bow before the Lord today and say, God, I'm pleasingly content. I'm looking for greater things. I'm not satisfied with some kind of religious trinkets. I'm not satisfied with mediocre Christian life. I want more. The things that you put on my heart in the past that maybe I've kind of got lax about them and thought you couldn't do no more with them. I don't want to be like that. I want you to show up to me just like you did Moses. I want you to reassure me with the hope of you're going to still use my life and do great things. He'll do it. If you'll get out of that worldly contentment and get in a little godly, pleasingly contentment. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You need to be saved today. Maybe as a child of God, God's challenged your heart about something in your life.